Welcome to this edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaverde. Before we begin, remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. And remember, the views expressed here are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or underwriters. Money Matters is about you, as money does matter, and matters of money affect us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it. It does control our economy, our country, our planet, and some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, or lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. And today's show is number 332, entitled The New Strain, and a special today, Attending Disneyland. That's right. I went down and found out all about how you do it. So we'll go cover that as well. So welcome back. Today's show, obviously another in a long line called A New Strain and Attending Disneyland, show 332. Okay, so we've got a new strain, probably not a new strain, but a strain you've all heard about now called the Delta variant. And read this morning about, more than half of the new cases are this new strain of the Delta variant. And of course, the Tokyo Olympics will not have any spectators now. So I think the opportunity or the challenge of shutting down again is, at least here in the United States, probably not going to happen unless it gets really, really bad. But things are opening up full blast, you know, and the market has been kind of oscillating around 33,000 to 34,000, almost 35,000. Of course, if we got to about 37,000, that would be a double from the COVID March lows. So we'll see what happens there. In the last few days, I'm recording this on July 14th, of course. Last few days, the Dow has still kind of just bounced around, but we're seeing more of this rotation that we see in stocks. Just, certain stocks will go up and others go down, and rather violently, too. So I'm just not talking about normal gyrations, but sectors, whole sectors going down and then whole sectors going back up again. So you got to be in the right stocks. Again, like I think I covered last show, this is a stock picker's paradise. You have to pick the right stocks or you're probably going to grind nowhere. And indeed, I've spoken to some investors that are experiencing that go-nowhere syndrome. You're seeing the Dow make new highs and then they're seeing the portfolio go nowhere. And so it is a stock picker's paradise. So not an index fund picker's paradise. Although, you know, a good majority of the stocks now are off their lows for sure. So we'll see what happens. Gold caught a bid, finally, at least in the last day or two, but it has been, fell from around almost 2,000 an ounce, almost, fell to about 1730, 1740, and the last couple of days been catching a bid here. Of course, Bitcoin, still low 30,000s. I saw it go up to about 35,000, and then right back down, and I think today is around 31,500. Which to me is pretty incredible that that Cybercoin would be so much, seeing it as it was worth, 50 cents or so, a few short years back again. So we did cover Bitcoin. We covered what I thought about it and its pros and cons and why, in my opinion, it'll never be a currency because it doesn't maintain a stable value. It's kind of all over the board. But you can see past shows. Listen to past shows on the website moneymanagementradio.com. Now, that is a free website. I'm not allowed to charge for that. That would be a conflict of interest. So moneymanagementradio.com is just our way of the community radio station saying thank you for listening to us. And you get an occasional newsletter. We don't spam your address or anything. moneymanagementradio.com. So we'll see, just what the Dow is going to be doing and how we're going to survive this thing. You know, I think... But I can safely say that the market will go down eventually. How far, we don't know. But usually, we will see rather severe corrections from time to time. And seeing this, as this market has gone up from the low 18,000s, which was the third or fourth week of March, almost to a double in the last, 14 months, I can comfortably say that I'm a little on edge. I'm a little careful. I have stops, which are predetermined sell points if things turn south in every portfolio that I have. And so I encourage that. I know most people want to hold for the long term, but You know, when the Dow dropped 38% in the first 3 weeks of March, it may have recovered, but the pain that people have felt as they watch their savings evaporate can be excruciating. I mean, can really be excruciating. So I always encourage for people to have stops for sure. But I'm probably the minority there, so we'll see what happens there. So those of you in Bitcoin, just be careful. Those of you in the stock market, just be careful. And those of you in gold and silver and anything else, just be careful. If you cannot tolerate risk, FDIC-insured products, savings, CDs, things of that sort, U.S. Treasury bonds or bills, which is U.S. debt, are the place to be for those that cannot tolerate movement. There are also certain annuity products that are available that have no downside risk. Remember, annuity products are not guaranteed by the FDIC or the U.S. government, but guaranteed by the underlying insurance company. But for those that cannot stomach a declining balance, that may be an avenue for you. You can get guaranteed for life income and things of that sort. But remember, there are early withdrawal penalties that may apply. So when you go into an insurance company for an annuity and you're looking for guaranteed life income or downside protection, there is usually prepayment penalties that can be severe. So make sure you investigate any financial product that you plan on buying thoroughly. I can comfortably also say that advisors and insurance people may be paid a commission on your annuity, and it may or may not come out of your balance. So you have to check each annuity product specifically, and there are thousands for sure. I've always had the opinion that if you can't understand it, don't buy it. And if the guy can't explain all of it and you don't understand it, then don't buy it. Okay, we're going to take a short break and we're going to talk about the Magic Kingdom, because I decided to go down there because of the reduced capacity, what I thought was reduced capacity, and didn't know how to do it because it was pretty complicated. But I figured it out. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. So we'll be right back on this edition of Money Matters.
Sky, he more, he more.
Okay, welcome back to Money Matters. Glad to have you on board today for show 332 called The New Strain and Attending Disneyland. And so, yeah, Disneyland, you know, it is an economic show, and there's a lot of economics in Disneyland. It's a huge company, of course, and people love to go there. And as you know, I believe for one of the first times, or maybe the first time, Disneyland shut down during COVID. Seeing as they have between 50,000 and 70,000 visitors on a very busy day, you're talking millions and millions of dollars per day. Of course, Disneyland did not like shutting down. And I'm sure, I do not know for sure, but I'm sure they threw money at the opposition party to the governor. That's my opinion. To get him recalled because they just felt that that it was not necessary to continue to shut down, even though Disney World was open and Disney Tokyo opened rather early last year. It was pretty amazing. But those are all my conjecture and my opinion only, so don't take that for gospel. So Disneyland, okay, so you want to go. You want to see it. First of all, I went down there because I thought it was 35% capacity. Started out, I think, at 15 for California residents, then went to 25, then went to 35 when I made my plans to go down there. And when I got down there, even though the website had said when I was looking at it that they were at 35% till July, when I got down there, I found out that they were at 100%. As of mid-June, so they kind of moved it forward there. So how do you go? That's the key. Okay, so how you go? It is different. You have to be ready to do a few things, and but it's not too difficult. The website, you know, I plowed through that website many times, and there were some contradictions in there, and it was kind of confusing, but I'm going to straighten you out right now. Is no guarantees that it's still like this, but I just went last week, and so I think that it is. So you start out by going to Disneyland.com, Disneyland.com, and just kind of look through that website. They talk about reservations and tickets. So the first thing you do when you go to Disneyland.com is you look for the Disneyland calendar, and you'll see schedule a trip, or you'll see various things like that, but you want to get to the Disneyland calendar. Disneyland calendar will show the days of the month, now and forward months. And when you press on the Disneyland calendar, you'll see the dates. And there are two icons that you want to look for. There's a Disneyland icon and the California Adventure icon. California Adventure is the park right across the lot. On the days that you are interested to go, you're going to look on the calendar and you're going to look for two icons, the Disneyland icon and the California Adventure icon. Now, it'll say starting park. What park do you wish to start on? You can just ignore that. If you're going to do a park hopper, which allows you to go between two parks in one day, then you're going to have to look at the starting park because it'll tell you what park you can start at. But most people go for one day full on one park and one day full on the other. So starting park just means what park do you want to start at? For me, I was just going to go to the Disneyland Resort for a full day and then go to California Adventure. So if you want to go to one park or the other, you look for the Disneyland icon or the California Adventure icon and you punch on that and that'll show you that that park is available for that day. If the icon's not there, it's not available. You can't go. So let's say you wanted to start like to Disneyland like I did. I look for the day that Disneyland icon is there, and that day is good, so I wrote that down. And then I wanted a day off, so the next day just by chance had no icons on it, so that was a good day off because I couldn't get into any of the parks. And the next day I went to California Adventure, so I had to find the next day the California Adventure icon. And then I took a day off, and then I went back to Disneyland. So whatever day you want to go to a particular park, you find the icon and write that down that that park is available at that time. Then the next day, or whenever the next day you want to go back, let's say it's the next day, find out what park is available. So if it's Disneyland, you've written that down, and then you go to California Adventure. You've written that down, what date that's available, and then you look again on the calendar, and you find out what the days are available and the parks that you want to go to. I went on July 5th, which is, you know, the day after the 4th of July. And the best days to go to Disneyland for the least amount of crowds, at least right now, is Monday earlier in the week. Because as the week progresses, it gets a little busier. So you then go to tickets. Now, you'll see on the website that says you need a ticket and you need a reservation. That was true, but that's not true anymore. When you buy the ticket, it makes a reservation for you. It was very confusing, and I finally, you know, figured that out. But it took a while. So if you can get a ticket, when you say buy tickets and you punch in the day and it says you can get this ticket or it's available, then you buy that ticket and you automatically have a reservation. You have to buy a ticket for each person and give the name of each person, and you buy, let's say you have a family of two, and you buy two Disneyland tickets and your reservations are already made for that day. And then you go to the next day that you want to go. And if you want to go to California Adventure, make sure that icon is available on the calendar. Then you buy that. So at the end, let's say you bought three tickets. You bought a Disneyland ticket the first day, a California Adventure the second day, and the third day, another Disneyland ticket. So you buy those and enter the name of your parties and then pay. And then you will get the tickets. And with it, you will get the reservations. Now, there's no one you can call. I tried calling to see if I could get some help, but nobody answered the phone for 4 hours. Set a 2-hour wait, but nobody answered the phone. So I was pretty much stuck there. But what happens is when you get the ticket, it'll strangely say, make a reservation. And when you punch on the ticket on the website, it'll say, all the reservations are already made for this ticket. So that kind of tells you that the ticket, when you bought it, made the reservation. So if you can get the tickets, you've got a reservation. When you get the ticket, when it comes over on the computer, you download that to your phone, so you have that on your phone. But also, as a backup, I want you to print the tickets. So you have the tickets on your phone. You email those tickets to your whoever you're going with, just to be safe, and take a paper copy, okay? Take a paper copy. So that way you have a ticket, you automatically have a reservation, and you're good to go. Flights. The flights, as you know, are very easy to go. We went Spirit Airlines. Yeah, they kind of charge us for everything. But once you get your tickets, you're good to go to get your flights. The hotels down there, there's a lot of hotel rooms, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the flights, make a flight, you're going to go down into the John Wayne Airport. If you want to fly into a different airport, flying is pretty easy, so you guys can figure that out. So you've gone to the website, check the calendar, make sure the icon in the park is available. You buy the ticket, you'll have the reservation. Keep the ticket reservations on your phone, print a paper backup. You're good to go. Make a reservation on the flight. Now, what hotels to stay at? There are some hotels right across from the park, They're not a mile walk. If you stay at the Disneyland Pier, some of these aren't open, by the way. If you stay at the Disneyland Pier, which was not open when I went, you got a long, long walk to go. And I didn't want to do that. It was like a mile. You had to go through downtown Disney and the whole thing. So I picked the Grand Legacy just by chance. Now, there's like five or six or seven that are right across the street from it. So literally, they said, oh, 5-minute walk. I thought, yeah, it's 20 minutes. No, it was about a 5-minute walk. And the Grand Legacy was reasonable. There's no gym, a very small pool, but you're right across from the park, and there's a few restaurants and a little bit of stop and goes there that you can buy stuff. Vons and the bigger supermarkets are farther away. Price was not outrageous. Parking is terrible. So as long as you're staying at one of the hotels close to the park within, you know, a quarter mile, the hotel will give you a parking pass and you're good to go there. They will charge you a little bit for the parking every night, and if you have another car, they're going to charge you a little bit more for the second car. So pick a hotel that's right across from the park if you want. If you want to stay further away from the park and take a shuttle in, I didn't want to do that because then I had to depend on the shuttle, and I didn't want to do that. So I just paid a little extra money, not a lot, and stayed right across the street. You can stay in California Adventure if you want, which is the hotel in the park. It's a huge hotel, but it's very, very expensive. It was like $600-$700 a night. They're not giving anything away, okay? Okay, so you make your reservations. So now you've got your reservations, which include your parking. You're going to be across from the park, or if you're going to stay away from the park a mile or 2 miles to get your hotel bills down, make sure they have a shuttle and find out when they go. One hotel I stayed at a couple of years ago had a bus, but you had to take the city bus. And so that was kind of a surprise. So pick your hotel. And I did want to stay close, so I stayed at the Grand Legacy, and it was fine. Nothing fancy, but it was there. Close hotel. As long as you're facing the park, you'll be able to see the fireworks. And I did film the fireworks from my hotel. I put it on my YouTube channel, which, again, is free. There's no charge. And I saw the 4th of July fireworks show on the COVID reopening. So that was a pretty good show. And what was interesting, the city of L.A., there were virtual nonstop explosions for that whole night. It's from dark, even before dark, it was a slow roar. We were just millions of explosions all the way around and fireworks off in the distance. But when Disneyland shot off the fireworks, which they do at 9:30, I could see it from my hotel balcony. So you want to make sure that you get a view of that if you go. Airport, yeah, moderately crowded, not bad. Mask in the airport, of course. Masks on the airplanes, of course. Medium crowds at the airport, no big deal. If you need a car, rent a car at Disneyland. Of course, you know, rent a car not at Disneyland, but when you make the reservations for the flight. In the terminal, it was, as when I went to Los Angeles before, some of the terminal rental car agencies are not open. The desks in the terminal are just not open. And maybe they might be open, but they're just not open, most of them. So you have to go into the parking structure, which is confusing because it's not a whole lot of signs to say that. So we rented from Budget, and there was one agent in the terminal. But my wife and I remembered that there was another agent inside the parking structure. So you cross the street from the John Wayne Airport, go inside the parking structure, and then you could get a much shorter line in the parking structure. So you'll have to check whatever rental car you go to. Grab the rental car, of course, and drive over to the park, and there you go. Arrival at the park. The park now opens at 8 o'clock. They opened a little bit earlier now. There's no 7 o'clock early arrivals, but I've been told that some people got there earlier and got let in. Lines at the park, 7:30 in the morning, 7:45. Not bad. I mean, you know, you have to have your bag screened, and then you have your ticket, and you wait in line. But it's no more than 5-10 minutes to get inside the park at that time. They say, oh, you know, wait until later to avoid the crowds. But I checked into Disneyland twice, California Adventure once, and Universal Studios one day, and the lines were fine. So I would prefer to arrive at Disneyland about 7:45, but my kids were hard to get up, so it was hard. Once you get inside Disneyland, the crowds, again, were in the morning, like the old days. You know, the first thing you want to do, obviously, is you want to go to the most popular rides early. Space Mountain, the Matterhorn, Indiana Jones, Pirates of the Caribbean, the Haunted House, Thunder Mountain, Splash Mountain, all those are the most popular rides. And so you want to go to those first. And before you even go, of course, download the Disneyland app on your phone, log in, get an account, have everybody have the account on their phones. Same account is used on 5 or 6 different phones. And the Disneyland app has many functions, okay? First, it has a map, tells you what the waits are. The waits at the park are less than what the map is telling you, okay? So the map would tell us 45 minutes, and it was 35 minutes. So when I went there, the times on the map were a little bit longer than what the actual lines were. So you get in the park, go to the most popular rides first, jet over there and get those rides out of the way. The two most popular rides are the new rides, which is Spider-Man and Rise of the Resistance. Okay, they're brand new. Disneyland built a whole city of Star Wars back there, and it is cool. That is also available on the app. The only rides that you can make a reservation on the app is the Disneyland Rise of the Resistance and Spider-Man. So you'll see join group, okay? You'll see join group on the app. Press that, and it'll say, you want to go to Disneyland Rise of the Resistance, or do you want to go to California Adventure, which is Spider-Man? You can only reserve one, and your ticket must be good for that day. So you must be in that park with a ticket on the Disneyland app, which will snag your tickets. It'll know that you have them. And then what happens is, at 7 a.m. and at noon, you have to make a reservation for that ride only. So if you're going to Disneyland, you're looking for the Disneyland join group and look for Rise of the Resistance. If you're going to go to California Adventure, you want to join the Spider-Man thing. What happens is at 7 a.m., the ride reservations for these two rides will fill in literally 15 seconds. Okay? So the best way to do this is when you get to join group, you're ready to go, and it says make a reservation, it will say reservations are not available at this time. Next time you can make a reservation is 7 a.m. So at 6:59, you get everybody in your party on the app, ready to join the group, and it'll say next reservation is 7 a.m. And then you pull down with your thumbs that portion of the page on your phone, and it refreshes. So you go right thumb, left thumb, pulling it down, so it's refreshing every second as fast as you can. In fact, I was told, let the kids do it, because they're faster. At 7 a.m., if you're refreshing the app and you're right on it, and everybody in your party is right on it, immediately, as soon as 7 o'clock hits, it'll say, join group. And you push that green button as fast as you can. And then another button will pull up and say, everybody in your party? And you push that. If you get on the app and it says at 7 o'clock and 30 seconds that the next reservation is at noon, you've missed it. So you got to be on it at 7. 6:59, we all sat down, got ready, opened up the app, was pulling down the little page so it refreshed all the time, and bingo. We got in each time except for the first day because we didn't realize it was that brutal. Put the kid on it, show them how to do it, and they'll be able to do that. If you miss the 7 a.m., don't worry. You get at 12 p.m. Now, there's more people in the park at 12 that don't have their phones out. So at 12, you're going to have a better chance. But try it at 7, because if you miss them both, then you're dead. But you can only go to one or the other on the day that you're going to have the park. So if you miss the 7 a.m. at noon, 11:59, get on the app, start refreshing it, and that's when you can have a little bit better time. So if you go into Disneyland, Rise of the Resistance, if you go into California Adventure, go to Spider-Man, okay? The app, food, the lines in the park, not horrible, you know, during the day. Thunder Mountain got to about an hour if it was hot, you know, Splash Mountain got to about an hour. But also there's food. So on the app, you'll see food. You must make a reservation for food. You go to the restaurant you want to go to, and you say order food, and it'll show you the window that's available. In other words, if it's 11 o'clock, it'll say you can get your food at 12:20. You order through the app, pay it through Apple Pay or a credit card that's on file with the app. And then you order your food, and it'll notify you when your food is ready. So you enter the food, and it'll just sit there. In a couple of minutes, it'll say, your food is ready. Please press button to tell us that you're here ready to pick up. So you push that button, then you can go get your food. So it works pretty well, you know, works okay. But we had no trouble getting the food, you know, as long as you follow that method. Crowds for the rides, like I said, it wasn't too bad. So Mondays are the best, and then Tuesdays gets a little more crowded, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes from there. And of course, at night, when the fireworks go off, the rides empty out. If you want to miss the fireworks, you can go there. And you don't need to wear a mask in the park if you've been vaccinated, but they don't check. So we saw very few masks in the park. So it was pretty fun. Universal, you know, if you get into Universal early, you want to go all the way back to the back of the park immediately and get on Jurassic Park and the Mummy. And for Universal, you will have to pay parking. You pay the $40 if you can afford it to get closer up. And then you don't have to walk so far. Okay, so that's it. I hope you guys have a good trip. Remember, start with a Disneyland app and you go from there. And of course, there are websites that'll kind of give you some explanation. But remember, when you buy a ticket, you get a reservation. And that was the biggest thing there. Okay, you're listening to Money Matters, show 332, called The New Strain and Attending Disneyland. And remember, discussions in this show are my opinions only. They don't necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its staff, management, or underwriters. Show is not meant as investment advice. Consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And do your own research before investing. I hold California Insurance License OL34249 and I'm a Medicare-approved agent in the state of California. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Have a great day. Get back.